Keith Mills here at the Chamber. Welcome. Thanks for coming.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
You are running for a seat on the APS school board, and that's a job that's going to require a lot of time and attention, and you guys will be dealing with a lot of tough issues over your term. So before we dive into specific things, just, you know, share with us why you're running, and, you know, as you talk about your motivations for running, just reiterate your background, introduce yourself generally.
Sure. Well, my name is Keith Mills, and born and raised pretty much here at Akron, Ohio. I'm a student of Akron Public Schools, and got 2 degrees from University of Akron. I guess I've been told my story is unique. I've been everything from homeless to owning multiple properties, so it's kind of crazy. You know, I teach right now full-time, full-time intervention specialist, special ed teacher. I have a master's in curriculum instruction, and I am a coach, and I work at a high school in Cleveland called Collinwood High School.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So as you think about the election, serving on the APS school board, personally, what's most important to you about serving, and where would you hope to have the most impact?
So on the board, there's so many gaps. So I can only speak to that because I worked for APS for over 10 years as a substitute teacher and working in facilities and maintenance, doing custodial while going back to get my master's in special ed. And there are so many gaps. And it's the communication departments that you'll have, or we have literally departments where you have a very small like area where you work, but 4 or 5 people, and they may not even talk to themselves during the day. Like, they don't talk to each other. And it's just something you cannot, we cannot keep sustaining this kind of model. You don't build relationships. You don't build something that's going to be beneficial for students. That's what we're here for. It's social service first, business second. Our mission should be helping our students, raising them up, getting them ready for the real world. The real world is much different than being in a school. School is safe. Real world is not. I tell them to my students all the time. And, you know, just wanting to run, it's just, I did run for mayor recently. And on that path, reason standing up is like, hey, I want to be a part of the conversation. I know that some of the people who are running, they've already been into politics. I haven't. And I wanted to add to that conversation. But while during that journey, I found out that a lot of people were like, hey, you're a teacher already. You should think about running for a school board. We need quality candidates to run. So, you know, even before the election was over for the previous one, I was already getting prodded to, hey, if you don't win, you should, you know, get back in there because we need quality candidates. And the more I thought about it, I was like, I guess, I mean, it does make sense. I am a teacher, a coach. I went to school to be a teacher. I'm doing it all the time. Can be a thankless job. People on the board say that's a thankless job. So it kind of fits that model. And also someone who actually knows students and knows how Akron Public Schools works, which I do. I could talk ad nauseum about APS. But yeah, so I think some of my skills and talents could actually be served well on the board of Akron Public Schools.
As you think about serving on the board, you're running at a time when the school board has a lot of things to work on. Over the next 12 or 18 months, what are the big picture items that you think you'd have to engage with, that you think the board has to engage with?
So, and this mainly comes from my own personal experience, and no one's really necessarily told me I'm wrong, but our perception. We're going to have a levy that has to come up due. It's overdue. We hadn't had one since 2011, 2012, and every so often we have to ask for renewal. But the perception, we have to actually, to fix anything going forward, you have to recognize the past. We've had a superintendent come in. There was strife. There was, you know, issues. The board let her go, gave her a huge package to go away. You know, we're talking hundreds of thousands of dollars to go away. Okay. And guess who paid for that? We paid for that. Not the board. We did. Then you hire another person. They come in and they say, hey, it was in the paper recently. We're going to hire somebody to tell the superintendent how to be a superintendent. That's how it's read. That's how it's laid out there. $173,000, if I recall right. That's a lot of money to your average Akronite. That's huge. And so as a person who's a teacher, I'm thinking, you know, not just the regular public, but I'm thinking like, okay, what are they doing for that kind of money? What are we actually getting back in value for our students, for families who need support? So a perception issue is huge with APS. If we don't have a perception right, we're not going to pass a levy. It's not going to happen. you know, and we shouldn't be fixing our perception to pass the levy. We need to fix our perception, period. But one of the benefits for APS or a bureaucracy, a district to, you know, pass the way, that's like a benefit, passing a levy. But time and time again, from working there, from going to school there, the kind of money that flows through that place is incredible. That's one thing I want to focus on, trying to change the perception and getting a handle on the kind of money that just leaves our district, and also more communication. So with between departments, and also wondering why STEM schools are doing so much better than some of our other schools. We need to actually take a look at why, be it societal or otherwise, why those schools are better off than the ones that we have in other districts, or not even other districts, but our own, in our backyard.
So let's stick to the strategic approach of education that the district has taken over the last 6 or 7 years with the college and career academy models.
Sure.
Just thoughts, perspectives, how is it benefiting students? How has it benefited the broader workforce ecosystem? There's a lot of partnerships that have been developed with mm-hmm. individual businesses, nonprofits. You know, what's good there that you'd like to see expanded in the years to come?
So recently, one good thing, I guess, so you can say it came up from an actual colleague of mine who's running, is that we can offer these services at the school setting, but if we do not prepare them to even take advantage of the college and career pathways, then we're setting them up for failure and we're making ourselves look bad. Like, we have to prepare students, not just like SEL-wise, social emotional learning, how to, you know, soft skills, hard skills, to say, hey, here's a job at Firestone. You know, but you need to have those backgrounds. Like, you need to get your math down. You need to have to know how to write. You're going to have to know how to present yourself. So that's one thing that came up. It was pretty interesting. We can offer a lot of these amazing opportunities to our students and have a growing good relationship with the business network in the community. But if we give them students who aren't ready to even do that, then it's all for naught. So that's something I would love to focus on, is working on how to deal with people who you disagree with, how to, you know, hone your customer service skills, as we call them, how to, you know, work on your soft skills, your hard skills, how to, you know, be able to take criticism and not just, you know, just blow up. And that's a huge thing. You know, the social emotional learning aspect, that's huge. But, you know, once we get our students there, the program that we created at APS is a wonderful program. It's amazing. You know, I wish the program was there when I was going to school. All we had was HVAC, in-house, and restaurant management. I went to North. That's all we had. So having all these different pathways, and, you know, also a little maybe cynical, but my generation, we were fed, you have to go to college to do anything. You have to go to college. You have to go to college. So now you got a whole ton of us, not just me, running around with a whole bunch of debt that's just, you know, is a burden on us. And we're in our 30s, 40s, almost 50s with this debt hanging around our, you know, hanging around us like a ball and chain. So, you know, people don't normally recognize that plumbers can make more than doctors. Electricians, that's a huge skill. That's an amazing skill. You know, getting kids in the trades, getting a union card, that is a big deal. That is something we need to support. So having different partnerships through the college and career academies, that's something APS has done right from the get-go. You know, Rachel Tekka, that was an awesome idea. Giving her that lead off of that, it was amazing. She was my principal when I was at North. It was, you know, I couldn't be happier for how the program's shaping up.
Great. You mentioned the importance of teaching students the ability to work with those they disagree with, work yep. through problems. I'd say that also translates to the board. You're elected. You're going to be serving. You're one of seven.
Yep.
How do you anticipate working through tough issues on the board among your colleagues, both sure. internally and even externally with other community stakeholders when things come up in a way that doesn't discourage that communication that you said is so key?
Yeah. So I will speak up, but I also listen. And I know that I'm not infallible. I don't know everything. I know that. And going through life, I know that I can learn just as much from a 9-year-old as I can a 65-year-old. Like, I have that perspective. No one's voice is muted or not worthy of speaking up. So having that innate skill and ability in myself, I know that, you know, let's listen to a different perspective on this situation. But I also know that if it doesn't make sense, then I'm going to have to stand up for it.
If you're elected, again, you'll be one of seven. Mm-hmm. So you talked about how the board, in your mind, should be operating functionally mm-hmm. as a group. You would try to work through things collectively. What do you view your, personally, individually, your primary role would be, and where would you like to spend most of your time and attention?
HR issues and curriculum instruction and designing that. Not just because I have a master's in curriculum instruction, but because I know that some of the stuff, like I am a huge non-believer in teach to the test. I don't like it. I like holistic learning. We use the natural progression. That is something I would definitely not. We have a criminal instruction department. We have our superintendent, but it's something that we're advisors on the board, but it's something that I would be vocal about is how are we best teaching our students? You know, there's a lot of kids just like myself where you teach us to the test. We memorize a whole bunch of information. We dump it on the test and we forget about it. But we've gained nothing. Nothing. So, and we just rinse, repeat, you know? So what you're doing is you're working on your memory skill. That's it. You're not working on your actual abilities and also HR issues. So, speaking from experience, while working at APS, after getting my master's, after getting my teaching license, after doing my student teaching at Akron, after doing my shadowing at Akron, how can someone be good enough to watch after boilers, watch after the building, make sure the building is operating okay, but not a good enough to be a teacher? I applied numerous times at APS, got through numerous like higher steps interview process, you know, because you get one where no thanks, no thanks. Oh, we'll interview you. No thanks, no thanks. Then you get like through three or four interviews, still no thanks, you know, thanks, but no thanks. But then the same board turns around and says they can't find teachers. That's a miscommunication. Someone is dropping the ball there. So I'm a little passionate about trying to figure out why you can have this narrative where you can't find teachers, but you have a guy in your buildings right now with a master's and a teaching certificate that you can't hire as a full-time teacher. Make it make sense. So that's, yeah, a little passionate about that.
That's good to hear. We need passionate school board members.
Definitely, definitely.
So early on, I had mentioned some of the headwinds that the board is going to be facing over the next 12 or 18 months. You specifically mentioned the levy. You may have recently seen the board seemingly decided to wait until November mm-hmm. of next year to go back to the community for additional support.
Yep.
Just share your perspectives on the general landscape, the financial situation that the district finds itself in, and what can and should, you know, board members, the APS board, be doing to garner that community support that'll be necessary in order to pass a levy next year.
Sure. So I keep on saying, everybody else kind of seemingly keeps on saying in my little sphere, transparency, communication. And they're right, but it needs to be legit. So when the board comes out and says, hey, we're going to be $15 million short, but yeah, you hear nothing at first about what are you looking at yourself to cut your own spending. So then they come back out and say, hey, we have these proposals of cuts. I thought it was great. Went back out and looked. You can't ask me for, it's like your kid. You can't have your kid ask you for more money, but they just blew it on Pop-Tarts and candy and pop, but they won their $20. It's the same idea. You can't tell me you need more money, but yet you just dropped $200,000 on a person that hides in 10 North Main. I worked there. I hardly ever seen these people. And you're dumping this kind of money, the optics, the perspective. And how are you going to pay somebody $16,000 a month? That's about for $200,000, about $16,000 a month. How are you going to pay them $16,000 a month and they do hardly anything in return for our students? I'm all about our students. You know, it actually puts me like on a high horse and I get on a rant. Our students are so important. Like, you have no idea. I coach esports. I have one kid who, you know, he didn't have a TV. Well, I fiddle with electronics and it's a little hobby of mine. I had a TV in the basement. I repaired. I gave him one. Like, it's that you have to build relationships. You can't just say, hey, well, here's $16,000. You're a fancy title person. What are you doing? So you can't then come out and say, hey, we need a levy passed for people who are already struggling to pay their water bills in Akron. We all know about the water bills in Akron, the gasoline for your car, the food, and now you want more money? It's not good. It's not. So you have to look inwards before you go requesting more money from the public. So looking for November, that was a good idea. And then coming back out and saying, hey, we have these cuts that we're going to make internally, which, you know, before we start asking for money. So
another issue that could affect the school district's bottom line. The state of Ohio recently expanded their voucher program. Mm-hmm. So that'll almost certainly impact student enrollment in some way, shape, or form. How can APS position itself more competitively to retain students? You know, how can the school board itself as a group of policymakers think about things differently to help alleviate that?
So knee-jerk reaction would be offer better schools, offer better support. People, some people not like it, will not like it necessarily, but you have to recognize a fault before you fix it. The other thing is that some of those vouchers won't necessarily hit APS as hard because there's not a lot of charter schools in the area to take the voucher. And it's been thrown out there that some of the vouchers may have already been called for. Like, so somebody's going to a Catholic school. Instead of them paying out of pocket, they may just opt to get a voucher. So that kid wasn't even an APS anyway. But it will take away from our bottom line. So we're just going to have to be more competitive and fight for those dollars. You can't just rest. My dad always said, rest on your laurels. You can't just rest. You have to keep being competitive. So like I brought up earlier, look at Adventure Place, look at this, the middle school. Look at why those kids are doing better than our kids in another cluster. And then try to mimic and close the gaps when you can to make those schools better, more competitive. Like there's a stark difference between Ennis and STEM middle school. It just is. You know, there's a difference between, you know, the Garfield cluster and what we're seeing at, you know, Central Howard and how we're, you know, to close that down. But yeah, there's a difference. Why can't we copy those and find out what the gaps are and then reach out to our partners in the community to help us close the gaps that we can't close as a district? It just makes sense. Also getting family more involved. Whatever their family structure may be, how can we help you and your students achieve? It's really, you have to go back to just being so simple. We get so wrapped up in bureaucracy, and it's crazy.
Well, really appreciate you coming in and answering some of these questions.
Of course.
Before we wrap up, though, any final thoughts, closing remarks?
For anybody who wants more information about me, I have a website called millsforakron.com. I'm also on Facebook, just my regular Keith Mills. Be pretty, you know, happy-go-lucky guy, like normal guy, don't have any hidden agendas, like people say, and, you know, I always worry about hidden agendas in politics, but I just want to fix our problems. I see it in the district I work in. I see it at APS. I want to fix our problems, and that's the whole reason or the driver for even doing this.
Yep. Keith Mills, thank you.
Yep, thanks.